Katie, how was your Hanukkah?
I have never celebrated Hanukkah. I never intend to celebrate Hanukkah.
So help me God, I never will.
I am not a Satanist nor a pagan. I celebrate Christmas, the real holiday.
Which is free of all pagan traditions, like bringing fucking trees inside. How was your Christmas?
Well, Jesse, they're plastic trees. Come on.
That's true.
My Christmas was fine. I did, for the first time, I believe, ever, attend a Christmas Eve church service. I went to the candlelight service at the church near my house. I was not coerced into doing this.
What?
I did it of my own volition. It was actually my idea.
Are you finding God? Because yeah. That could be bad for the podcast, or good, depending.
I'm turning into a trad wife. So we live very close to this very cute, from the outside, country church. Like, picture the kind of classic steeple white. Are you picturing it?
Yeah, vividly.
Yeah. So it's very cute. And they had a sign outside that said, candlelight service, everyone welcome. And I thought, I'm everyone. So I took a few edibles and I went to church.
God, you defiled Jesus's house.
You think Jesus has a problem with a few edibles?
Actually, no. Jesus would be pro-edible.
Yes. And I mean, he's famous for turning water into wine. First miracle. I did not drink any wine, but I did take a few edibles, went to the church service, and I expected it to be sort of contemplative and beautiful. You know, what is prettier than candles in a darkened church? But I was disappointed to find, when we got there, that they don't have real candles. They use fucking plastic candles, like LED candles. I know.
It's
absolutely.
It's like nothing is sacred anymore,
right,
you know?
Right.
And that's fucked up.
It is fucked up. Like, I just want to do a few edibles, get a little high, and go to church, and church isn't even church because they're using, everything's plastic. Plastic's everywhere. Even the candles, plastic. So that was a disappointment. Also, it was like, you can get, I assume that you can get little plastic candles that have like a nice yellow glow. These were like blue light candles. Just not good, not good. And then the choir, it was like a children's choir. Jesse.
Animatronic or real?
No, they were real, but they were
so creepy.
Dog shit. Just terrible.
Katie, you're at the point where you're effectively doxing children.
Doxing
because
them.
It's going to be very, and HIPAA violations. It's going to be very easy for anyone, because you're not shy about your identity. People are going to be able to track down the church, mm-hmm. the choir, mm-hmm. go to these kids' houses, show up and yell at them for being bad at singing. Your deranged fans are guaranteed to do that. I can't be party to this.
I hope they do, because the parents weren't scolding them.
Okay, fine. Everybody go harass
the children,
the members of this Asheville, North Carolina children's choir.
I don't live in Asheville. I live north of Asheville, so it's not there. Anyway, there's one kid in particular, Miles. Miles was terrible.
Wait, is this his real name?
Yes, I think so, because some... You think we're going to find
Miles' him? Address is 3420.
Look, Miles, I don't know where Miles lives, but Miles was so poorly behaved. He just like wasn't still. He was running around during the service.
How old was
he? Terrible voice. Three or four. Here's the thing.
Get your shit together, Miles. What the fuck, dude?
I think that if Miles had been forced to hold a real candle, a flaming candle with one of those little paper things on the bottom so the wax doesn't get on your hand. You know what I'm talking about? Do Jews do candles? That's one thing Jews do, right? Right? Candles?
Do we do candles? Right. Yes, we do candles.
Okay, so if Miles had been forced to hold a candle, it would have taught him a little responsibility. He would have had to stand there straight. He would have probably been singing from his diaphragm. But instead, like this little annoying high-pitched voice running around the whole thing. You know what? I was considering joining, and then this happened. And then I was like, fuck it. I'm staying with Islam. I'm not going to be a party to this. But then they gave us a big bag of candy on the way out, so now I'm on the fence.
Your anecdote leaves me extremely confused about what Christianity is.
Me too.
I don't. There's fake candles. Yeah. You can go while you're high. Yeah. You dox the children. Yeah. I don't know if I can be part of it. Yeah, I'm not. Not for me.
Well, how was your Christmas?
Well, I say not for me. I actually, for the first time ever, and without getting into too much detail, because there's a small group of people on Blue Sky trying to say they're trying to kill me. I hope they don't, because that would suck. I had my first ever actual Christmas, like with the tree.
Wait. First Christmas?
First,
you're an American. You've never had Christmas.
This just shows how Jewish I am.
Wait, you're not that Jewish, though. You really, like, as a kid, you guys didn't even get a tree? I mean, my family is not religious at all. We still celebrate Christmas. It's really not a Christian holiday.
No, some Jewish families do. I, you know what, I Well, a couple things. First of all, the Christmas I experienced was just this sort of cavalcade of warmth and family and presence and love and joking togetherness, all of which made me really uncomfortable. Mm-mm. That's just not my scene. It's just normal, well-adjusted people. As a Jew, we did not have a tree. There's a divide. Like, some Jews do have trees. It's been going on forever. Some don't. We didn't. We would, like, lie around, watch TV, get Chinese food, get into several screaming arguments. Like, that's a Jewish Christmas. That's what I'm used to. This was really nice. But the level of, like, highly functioning people who don't have major problems, it was alien to me. But I'm glad I got to experience it. It was very pleasant.
I don't think that's a Christian thing.
Highly functional people. Depends.
Based on my experience with Miles, that's not
Miles is, you know what? Fuck you, Miles. Like, seriously, do better.
He can't even read.
What a loser. Katie, we could talk about...
Before we move on, can I complain about one other thing with the church?
Naturally.
Okay, the church, from the outside, so charming, so quaint. From the inside, it, like, clearly had been remodeled. I wish. It was not a mega church. It had clearly been remodeled in the 80s. It had a drop ceiling with fluorescent lighting, and then it had, like, paneling around the inside. And I feel like if you're gonna have a really charming church that looks like there's snake handling going on inside, the inside should reflect the outside. Just lies. All lies.
Okay. Well, this has been Katie shits on literally everything, including 3-year-old kids who don't sing high enough for her exacting standards.
He could have been 4.
Should we move on, Katie, or should we just talk about holidays the whole episode?
Let's move on. Did you see the very interesting email that we got this morning?
Yeah, I'm going to... this is from...
Let me introduce this. We got an email today from Alyssa Shoup. Now, this name will probably...
Alyssa Ray Shoup.
Alyssa Ray Shoup. A.K.A. James, A.K.A. Jamie Shoup. So this name will...
Can I just say, in a cowardly fashion, I feel morally icky about this whole thing. But go ahead, Katie.
Okay, so you feel morally icky about talking about it or the fact that you received the email?
Both. Just everything at this point. Yeah. My whole life feels morally icky.
All right, so this character will be familiar to longtime listeners. Alyssa Ray Shoup, a.k.a. James Jamie Shoup, is a transgender person who was the first American to get an X marker on his/her/their. And I'm using all of the pronouns because this person goes back and forth about which pronouns they use on seemingly a monthly basis.
Also, and they said in the email, we can use whatever pronouns we want.
Oh, okay, nice.
Oh, you didn't even read it.
I know I did read it, but it was long, and I skipped to the video.
I encourage you to mention all 3 of my names for maximum search exposure, and you have free speech regarding what pronouns you use when describing.
Great, thank you.
We have free speech. I bestow upon you free speech.
So longtime listeners might remember this character because we've discussed this person on a couple of episodes. And most recently, we discussed them because we got an email that I thought was from Shoup themselves. I think it was actually from Shoup's wife. It said it was from Shoup's wife. And this was a legal threat, right, Jesse?
In a certain sense of the phrase legal threat, a certain very loose sense, it was a collection of words that threatened to do legal things.
Okay. So we did an episode on this. I'll post a link to it in the show notes. This was, I think, one of our most, responding to this legal threat was one of our most popular episodes, certainly of the year.
Well, I keep interrupting you, but when you get an email, and we're not doing that with this one for reasons I'll explain. When you get a long, crazy email and you're like, oh, this is our next episode, we can just read and react to that. That is, podcasters are lazy by disposition. That is the greatest gift you can give to a podcaster. And if you think you're scaring them with it, you should just make sure that it's like actually a legal threat rather than something they will just
make fun of,
laugh at on the air. But this email was very different and more conciliatory.
Right. And so it was a surprise to get it. So this one.
This is an hour ago as we're recording. Yes.
So this one was from Alyssa Ray Shoup. And the subject is Dear All. Can I just read a little bit of it?
Very little.
Okay. The transgender athlete situation is disgraceful and always has been. I don't have worthy adjectives to describe all of the pieces of shit in the trans population that have acted as enablers, allies, advocates, or creators of junk science, bogus studies, and then names some names here. And so this email, it was surprising to get this email because this email is, this is from someone whose wife threatened to sue us. And we actually did meet with a lawyer and like have an actual discussion about this. This person is...
Albeit a Substack provider one, thanks.
I mean, it was a real lawyer. It wasn't like a just...
Yeah, well, we think, I mean, today's day of AI.
They paid for the lawyer.
This was a real lawyer who was very helpful, yes.
Who was basically like, I'm not telling you that you can't talk about this. I'm not telling you that you should talk about this. And we disregarded the lawyer's advice on that. Anyway, so...
No, I don't... Look, we didn't disregard it. It was just so...
We took it into consideration. We said we're doing this
silly.
Anyway. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
It was a very flimsy legal threat, as we have established. And the thing you need to know about Shoop is that Shoop is a little bit... mercurial. Is that the right term?
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely mercurial. Shoop has a tendency to change his, her, their mind about many things all the time.
Right. So Shoop has said some terrible things about me. This email was also addressed to Redux, a site that I am sure has...
Well, it's also like, if you're Lisa Shoop... What outlet can I pick that will give me a fair shake? This is like, at a certain point, becomes a humiliation kink almost.
Yes, yes. That might actually be what it is. Speculation here. No defamation. And so,
no defamation, no collusion.
So Shoop has gone from being a trans activist, first person to get the non-binary X gender marker, to switching sides and being like full on TERF. There's no such thing as a trans child, like protesting outside of gender clinics, did another full 180 and started like leaking all of these emails that they'd had between themselves and like gender critical activists. And at that point, Jude Doyle, the award-winning, is Jude Doyle award-winning?
I'm sure someone gave Jude Doyle an award.
Yeah, I bet Jude has like a Father of the Year mug from their child. Jude Doyle, trans journalist.
One of the craziest sort of... Ask like Matt and Elizabeth Brunig.
Yes.
Liz Brunig about Doyle. I'll leave it at that.
And Liz is offline, so you're going to have to go to her house.
Go to her house. Her address is in the show notes and ask her about Doyle.
Yeah. So Doyle, and not just Doyle, like Mother Jones, I believe, wrote a piece using Shoop as a source. Did the New York Times?
I don't think so. Well, maybe got a mention in What's Her Name's piece. We should also say, if a crazy person leaks you documents... And the documents are legit. That doesn't mean you can't use the documents.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Oh, no. New York Times did help a few stories of regret fuel the push to restrict gender transition care. Maggie Astor. Yes.
Wow. How do you? It's crazy that Maggie somehow knows how few stories there are given the lack of any good data. Anyway,
so Shoop has a tendency to switch sides. Last we heard from Shoop, Shoop was very anti-us, very pro-trans, and, you know, their wife was sending legal threats, which we took very seriously. Then we get this email.
Also, air quotes, their wife, because you, not me, for defamation purposes, you, Katie Herzog, not Jesse Single. You think...
No, I changed my mind on that. We did a follow-up, remember?
Oh, you think it was
I do, because of the wife's... Some, like, tweets. The wife tweeted some things later, and I was like, oh, this is the wife.
Well, but how do you know that's the
wife? I don't know.
Jamie could control the accounts of every... Jamie Doyle.
Could be you.
This would be like a Kaiser Soze situation.
Okay, so anyway, it's clear from this email that Jamie has once again changed sides. Jamie is writing you, me, I think Ben Boyce is on this, and Redux. So four outlets.
The four most important journalistic entities in the world.
So she sends this email, and attached to the email is a video. And we're not going to play the video.
We're not going to watch the video either.
Oh,
I put it on for like, no, fuck no.
You need to watch this.
The icon is a...
It's not an icon.
Katie, if I sent you a video and it was me shirtless with big man boobs, way bigger man boobs, like, you wouldn't watch it.
That's what the video is about. So it's Shoop.
We're participating consensually, I guess, in a humiliation fetish.
It's not non-consensual.
Yeah, that's what's so
it's
sick about
it. It's Shoop topless, wearing disposable underwear, and we know it's disposable underwear because the body of the email says, as for why I was wearing disposable underwear, I underwent an orchiotomy to remove my testicles on December 23rd. orchiectomy to remove my testicles on December 23rd. Merry Christmas. That, too, is a testimony of the failures in transgender medicine. The VA was forced by last resort to perform the surgery because I could no longer medically tolerate any of the testosterone blockers. Lupron, at a retail cost of $1,600 per month or so, was swelling my brainstem and causing excruciating headaches that were on par or worse than migraines. Anyway, so this is a video of Shoop topless, totally naked from the waist up, wearing these disposable underpants. And in the video, he talks about, he like flexes his pecs. And so he was in the military and he says, you know, when I was in the military, I could lift 140 pounds. I did this regularly. I'm 60 years old. I've been out of the military for years. I don't work out. He's got a big old beer belly. I don't work out. I hate my muscles. I don't take care of myself. And I can still do this like pec flex dance thing with my titties. And so his point is that trans women in sports, like, they have an obvious advantage because look at my body. I haven't worked out in 20 years and I can still do this dance with my titty dance with my pecs. Therefore, you know, Leah Thomas should not be swimming with women, which I agree with.
This is how the matter should be resolved, is topless fetishy videos sent to journalists from individual people with opinions on it. So blockedreportedpodcast@gmail.com. Anyone who wants to send us, this is just creepy, dude. This is someone with like serious mental health problems and we couldn't not talk about it, but
we couldn't not talk about it because the villain of the story, I don't actually think is Shoop. I think that Shoop is, as I said, like the one of the reasons.
Shoop is the Miles of this story. Miles doesn't know better. Yeah. Miles is going to run around and sing off key.
Shoop is not the villain of the story. I think Shoop is crazy. By Shoop's own admission, they have mental health issues. This is why I personally never used Shoop as a source in stories, because Shoop was clearly fucking nuts. Jude Doyle had no such compunction. And so, again, the point...
But he has the same excuse, though. It's crazy people all the way down.
I don't know if Jude's crazy. But anyway, my point is, this is what happens when you... Like, there are several figures within the, like, D-trans, re-trans circle who do this kind of thing. I made the mistake of using one as a source, Kai Shevers, who at the time I had no idea was this like vindictive.
Even mentioning that name is going to reignite it. You should bleep that.
I'm not going to bleep it, but
okay.
But I just, like, you have to be really careful about who you use a source, because it can come back to bite you in the ass. And I said, after Jude published their piece about Shoop, I guess last year, whenever it was, I said, like, just that. And I think that's what's happening right now. Shoop has once again done another 180. And so we'll see what happens. I have a feeling that this video is going to go up on the Redux website.
We will not be sharing it with anyone. Not unless you pay us $15. It's too it's too hot. Yeah. Okay.
You said $15? That's it?
$50. That was way too much. Too much Shoop. Should we move on to the meat of the episode, Katie?
I could stick with this. There's one other line I'd like to read. I promise not to contact any of you any further regarding this matter. It is not an attempt to make amends, etc. It is solely about doing the right thing for females. All right, that is legally binding. I promise not to contact you any further.
It is. Okay. Gmail is legally binding.
Yes. All right, now we can move on.
Katie, okay, well, 15 or 20 minutes in, put on your, what do farmers wear? Hats? Yes. Overalls?
Yeah.
Put on whatever it is farmers wear. I'm a soy boy. We're going back to the farms. Kiwi Farms, that is. Katie, are you excited for another trip to Kiwi Farms?
Let's go to New Zealand.
I was going to say down under, but that's both the wrong country and the wrong accent. Yeah, so, God, where to even begin with Kiwi Farms? I did a 18-part series on the attempts to shut down Kiwi Farms, which were spearheaded by a wonderful young woman named Keffels. She's a Twitch streamer.
The unsuccessful attempts to shut down Kiwi Farms, temporarily successful. Nobody seemed to report on the fact that...
There's all these headlines that were like, Kiwi Farms is done. How hard was that? See, you can just make bad speech go away. Why don't we just do that? Then it comes back. Yeah. No follow-up whatsoever.
No. It's there. got a fun little thread about Jesse. Hey, they dox me on there, by the way. There are pictures of my home on the fucking Kiwi Farms thread.
You haven't really done a good job of...
Wait, I've never said where I live.
Okay, just in this episode, you said you live close to a church. You describe the church architecturally. You describe the name of a minor in the chorus. You described how good...
You think people are going to figure out where I live based on the fact that there was a kid named Miles at the church.
Weaponized autism. They are already on their way to your house. Seriously. Like, you don't understand how obsessive people get.
The thing is, I don't care.
Well, that's just because you're not...
worried. It's because I'm not worried.
Like a Kiwi Farms target.
No, it's not because I'm not a Kiwi... Like, I don't... Whatever. I don't care about this stuff. I have been doxxed. I had people calling my fucking in-laws last year and saying horrific things.
Oh, that was because of what's his fuck, that awful guy. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Kiwi Farms is an online message board that is very 4chan-ish. I'll just do the... I'm sure most people will say no, but they basically... They find these figures they call lol cows... And they milk them. They make fun of them. They dox them. Now, in theory, they have a don't touch the poo policy, which means don't fuck with these people in real life. Although at some point that got updated to... Katie, will you read this?
Don't pause hole the neg hole.
Do you know what that means?
Don't fuck the butt.
Well, yeah, it basically, in true Kiwi Farms fashion, they try to make everything as offensive as possible. This appears to be a reference to gay men discussing having sex with HIV positive partners.
Okay, pause hold the neck hole, like a HIV positive man. Right. Okay, I like that.
Anyway, we've discussed before that we think in certain cases there's like a little bit of a moral panic about Kiwi Farms. On the other hand, they do dox people. They do like fixate on these targets and talk about them for sometimes thousands of pages. So it's a little bit disingenuous to host a messaging board where in the most extreme cases, everyone's like, this person should kill themselves, let's dox them, let's dox them.
Do they say that?
There's a lot of like, this person should kill them. Yeah, well, depending on the target, not always.
Can I tell you my problem with Kiwi Farms?
The UX?
Well, there's that. I don't know how to use it. My other problem with it is that they only target like left-wing figures, it seems like, for the most, like there are people that I have looked up who have become very prominent on Elon's Twitter, and they don't have any mention on Kiwi Farms. And these are like fucking odious people who do crazy shit who absolutely deserve full threads.
Like who?
Okay, there's one called Captive Dreamer. He's the one who Will Stancil doxed.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
And he's the one who spread this whole rumor about Haitians in, where was it?
Ohio, eating. They're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats.
Eating pets. And he's become really prominent on Elon's Twitter. And I want him to get doxxed. I want to know his story and nothing about him on Kiwi Farms. So farmers, do better.
So people sometimes say that Kiwi Farms only fixates on sort of left of center targets. And some other people say they like particularly fixate on trans targets. I think there's something to that. Now, there are some right wing people they get in beefs with. I will say, if you're going to fixate this much on internet targets, there's definitely more worthy ones than the ones they pick. I think part of their ethos in some cases is like, oh, you want to be famous on the internet? Here you go. And it can be very unpleasant.
Yeah. Okay. Well, like I just searched. I went to the site. I put it into my browser. I did all of the letters.
Katie Herzog, confirmed Kiwi Farms user.
I searched for Chaya Rychik. She is the exact sort of person I would expect to have a thread on Kiwi Farms. Nothing.
Well, I think Kiwi Farms probably agrees with her about like wokeness, right, and blue haired elementary school teachers. That doesn't surprise me.
But that's my point. Like, can we not get a Kiwi Farms that is a little broader? Oh wait, actually, okay, so there's Libs of TikTok Derangement Syndrome.
That's the opposite. That's like a thread in favor of her.
And
yeah.
And so, but that's what I want. I want like a more egalitarian, a more democratic.
Why can't we get a liberal Joe Rogan?
Why can't
is what you're saying.
Why can't we get, like, I don't
created
I don't wanna,
in a lab under DNC headquarters.
I don't want to have to go to like Rational Wiki to find
oh,
out.
Oh God,
about.
Rational Wiki makes Kiwi Farms look like I don't know what. Rational
but
Wiki
they would
is a
never
crazy dogs. Place.
Right. Anyway, so I just wish they could be a little broader in scope. That's all I'm asking for, farmers. Come on.
Right. Okay. So go back, listen to the episodes. There was this attempt to hashtag drop Kiwi Farms. Most prominent victim/advocate for that was Keffels, Clara Sorrenti, politics stream rep in Canada. Second place, perhaps, went to Liz Fong Jones, Fong Jones is a site reliability engineer. She's now at a place called Honeycomb. She's well established in the tech world. She worked at Google in the past. She loathes Kiwi Farms, and the feeling is mutual.
Okay, what's that about?
It is complicated, Katie, and I'm going to do my best to try to put this timeline together from, like, archive posts, ancient Kiwi Farms posts, information about her is across multiple threads. You obviously cannot trust anything on Kiwi Farms at face value, with the exception, I would say, of screenshots and archive links, which I've never seen them make up a screenshot. I do think, as we'll get to, they make up other stuff. But part of this had to do with Kiwi Farms perceiving Liz Fong Jones to be entangled with Trans Lifeline former executive director Greta Gustava Martel and former director of ops Nina Chow Bell.
Chow Bell.
It's definitely Chow Bell. That's the Indian pronunciation. According to their own successors at Trans Lifeline, they stole hundreds of thousands of dollars from it. So Liz Fong Jones' page on Kiwi Farms says she was in close contact with, that's a direct quote, them. But that's not really clear to me that that was ever the case. She claims that she was not in any sort of close contact with them. I reached out to Liz Fong Jones about this segment, and I heard back from her lawyer. Her lawyer... What?
Has that ever happened with, like, a minor internet figure before? You reach out and you get a response from the lawyer?
Liz Fong Jones, like, when it comes to legal stuff, as we will see, she packs some serious heat. She has money and she uses it.
Where'd she get the money?
I don't know. Probably from being in tech for a while or family money. I have not, Katie, yet looked into Liz Fong Jones' finances, nor do I intend to. Anyway.
I thought you were going to do your job.
This is from Liz Fong Jones' lawyer. Quote, with regard to the Trans Lifeline matter, Liz has previously spoken on this topic, and we will point you to her statements there. See, and it's a fucking link to a podcast, at approximately 2525 and 3349. Liz's donation was misappropriated in the same way as every other donor. I find it very annoying to not just give me a statement, but also be like, also, check her out on this podcast. In the clips in question, Liz Fong Jones does just briefly mention this Trans Lifeline fiasco and how she herself was victimized, which was also something the attorney emphasized. So I haven't found
and victimized in the sense that she gave the money.
She gave the money, and then it was embezzled.
Okay.
I haven't found any evidence there was a...
Were they ever charged?
I think they just got away with it, as far as I know.
So it's just this, like, open secret that they embezzled money and there were no charges ever filed.
In the 2017 tax filings for Trans Lifeline, which we'll include a link to, the folks running it were just like, yeah, these two officers made away with, like, I forget, $360,000 or something. I don't think it ever led to legal action.
Is there a statute of limitations? Could we sue?
Can we sue civilly someone for... Mm-hmm. Should we sue Trans Lifeline? Crowdfund?
Yeah.
That'll be a good look.
Yeah, we just need someone who was harmed by this. So if anybody listening to this donated to Trans Lifeline in that time period, get in touch with us.
That is definitely how the law works. So I have not found any evidence there was a meaningful relationship between Fong Jones and the founders of Trans Lifeline beyond her donating to the organization. One of the earliest mentions of Fong Jones on Kiwi Farms was in the thread for one of the Trans Lifeline founders. Gustava, immediately forgot her name, scrolling up, buying time, Greta Gustava Martel. So, Katie, read this from early 2017, please.
Okay, so this is from Kiwi Farms, right?
A Kiwi Farms poster, yeah.
Okay. Liz Fong, another Google employee, coughed up $5,000 plus to Trans Lifeline after an earlier sob story by Greta and then blocked everyone who pointed out it's a scam.
So the next post says, quote, let's make a thread and dox all of Liz Fong's pets and children in it.
Does Liz Fong have pets or children?
Actually, a pet will come into the story later, unfortunately. But someone responds to that, from the looks of her ally, LinkedIn, she's a special snowflake, but not a lolcow, and seems to be under the genuine impression that Greta and friends are running a legit operation. Not going to lie, though, I'm intrigued by her. So, Kiwi Farmers at this point are torn on whether or not it's worth focusing on Liz Fong Jones or doxing her. But the next page in the thread, they do dox her. They pull together all this personal information about her, including her birth certificate. That was February 13th, 2017. And again, this was not in Liz Fong Jones' own thread. It was in a thread for Greta Gustava Martella, who has almost 800 pages worth of material on her. Now,
wow.
I'm going to say something controversial that will get some people mad at me. It would suck to have your personal information posted online like that, like especially in a genuinely menacing seeming place like Kiwi Farms, it really would. But at first, the Kiwi farmers just weren't very interested in Liz Fong Jones. The thread on Greta Gustava Martellus goes on for hundreds of more pages, and Fong Jones just isn't mentioned much, according to a Google search I did. That being said, Liz Fong Jones, understandably, she does not want her personal information on this weird, menacing message board. Kiwi Farms has a sub-forum dedicated to posting and ridiculing requests for people to remove their information. 6 months after Fong Jones is doxxed, Null, aka Joshua Moons, the sort of supervillain figure who runs Kiwi Farms, he starts a new thread in that sub-forum, titled Liz Fong Jones Harassing People for Hosting My Email. After calling her a slur, as is apparently required by the Kiwi Farms bylaws.
What slur?
You can. Is this slur? I can't say because I'm not a member of the LGBT community. I don't think you can say it either. I don't think anyone can say it.
Is it troon?
No, it's worse than that.
Tranny?
Yeah. Noel writes that.
You got to be specific, Jesse.
Noel writes that the Trans Lifeline supporters have, quote, apparently employed to harass third parties vaguely associated with me. This is to presumably help cover up that Trans Lifeline is a scam. Z, meaning Liz Fong Jones, works for Google and is using an authoritative @google.com address to do this wet work for Kiel, who's one of the first name of one of the Trans Lifeline scammers. Czar's @Google addresses are good for scaring small businesses. So do you get what Moon is saying here?
Let me try to parse this again, removing all of the silly pronouns. Okay. He's saying that because Liz Fong Jones has a Google email, she emailed him from Google.
She didn't email him. She emailed the company that hosts Kiwi Farms or Josh's email.
Justin. Okay, and he calls this wet work, which is a euphemism for murder.
Is it really?
I think so. Isn't that like a mob term? Like that.
It's fine. The most important thing is he's pinning this on Trans Lifeline. He's saying that Liz Fong Jones is sort of acting on behalf of Trans Lifeline to protect Trans Lifeline.
Gotcha.
He continues, Katie, please read this.
This email falsely accuses me, us, whomever, of criminal behavior. No one is blackmailing this fucking troll. The only thing I'd want them to do is fuck off. I don't know if they're intimidated, and I don't care. They should be more worried of the fact that they're openly using their @google.com association for non-work-related activities, such as fucking with people they don't know and who never heard of them until today. Additionally, the person they've contacted is not our host. They host our email server. This genius did an MX record lookup and assumed or they hosted our entire site. What's MX record?
I don't know. Just a way of looking up who owns or operates a website. So now read the actual email Liz Fong Jones apparently sent the wrong address. This was Thursday, August 17th, 2017. Josh Moon puts this in his post.
Liz F at Google. Do you want me to not say her address?
Well, that's not her address anymore. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Liz F at Google.com wrote, and then there's a link to a thread. The thread, presumably with
the doxing.
Which is hosted with you is posting my personal information in order to intimidate and blackmail me, which is a violation of your AUPTOS. Thanks, Liz Fong Jones. Could I do this with like the yellow pages?
So having had a recent incident where people attempted to dox me, I have no doubt that this isn't fun, especially if they got her real address. But it's unclear how Kiwi Farms was trying to blackmail her. And in fact, like after they posted the info about her, they mostly turned their attention to Gustava Martella. So I do think that the claim they were trying to intimidate her and blackmail her was a bit much. I also think Moon escalated things by posting it. And, you know, it's just the two are starting to really hate each other at this point. The enmity is beginning to simmer. But if you go to that thread, it's just 18 pages of them making fun of Liz Fong Jones' attempt to get her docs taken down. That's nothing by the standards of Kiwi Farm. She still isn't really on their radar. But as you can see,
she's not a locale yet.
She's not a locale yet. Maybe a little calf.
They're not milking.
Not producing
yet.
Milk yet. A little calf. As you can see, Moon told his readers that this was connected to Trans Lifeline, that Liz Fong Jones was trying to defend it from the charges of embezzlement and sort of attacking Kiwi Farms, when it seems much more likely Liz Fong Jones just wanted her information taken down. Would you agree with my interpretation that if you read her, you know, two-sentence email, it's just about wanting her personal information off the internet?
Well, a violation of your terms of service. I mean, she doesn't say, like, I want you I want this website taken down. She's talking about this one site, but if she had in fact emailed the right place and she said this company is violating your terms of service, I mean, maybe the implication there is take the whole fucking thing down.
I think, yeah, actually, you know what? I think there's a little bit of ambiguity there. The sense I got was she just wanted her information taken down. I don't think she's saying, also just given her place in the tech world, you're not getting a whole website taken down because they violated your terms of service once. My interpretation is she's trying to get her information taken down. Either way, Kiwi Farms becomes convinced that she was in with the Trans Lifeline scammers. I'm not seeing any evidence of that anywhere. I'm open to it. Like, God knows where things have happened, but I'd have to see, like, actual evidence of it beyond guilt by association stuff. As far as I can tell, Liz Fong Jones came onto the radar of Kiwi Farms just because she donated to a charity that Kiwi Farms had correctly pegged as scammy before basically anyone else did, to their credit. Then she fell off their radar. Then she got back on their radar because Moon got that email from her and made a big deal about it.
Okay, so this was a few years ago, I assume?
I mean, the request to take down the info was 2017. It's more than a few years ago at this point.
Okay, so what's the update? Why are we talking about this now?
So in August of 2022, Kiwi Farms does launch a dedicated thread about Liz Fong Jones. She's officially a lolcow. As is often the case with these threads, they basically dig up everything they can about her background, her associations. There's some claims in there that are factually questionable, like, quote, Elliot, they use dead names, also was in close contact with Greta Gustava and Kale Anderson, individuals who ran the infamous Trans Lifeline. Again, I don't know where this comes from. There's no evidence provided. If someone wants to prove me wrong, they can. One of the things Kiwi Farms finds in digging into her past is this deleted thread. Okay, so this is 21st of November, 2019. Liz Fong Jones, sigh. I was hoping not to have to do this, but now that the other party in this is publicly discussing her side, I need to be transparent and accountable while defending myself and hopefully not make the situation worse. Thread, content warning, allegations of sexual assault, CPTSD. Those should go first, usually.
Right? They should go first. And CPTSD, that's when you have emphysema as well as PTSD?
That is chronic PTSD.
No, it's complex.
Complex, not chronic. I'm not going to name her, but she has chosen to discuss the incident and name me, so I feel I have no choice but to respond, and to do so publicly in order to explain my view of the circumstances and clear my name. Every one of these has a content warning after,
after
potentially triggering material. This attempts to describe a consent accident, that phrase would become notorious among Kiwi farmers, that occurred on November 3rd in Zurich. I'm going to try to, as carefully as I can, conduct a blameless retrospective about what happened. I have known the person who accuses me of sexual assault for over 8+ years, and relevantly, she has known that I once had a psychiatric service animal, that dog recently passed away, but that my family still has another dog.
You didn't tell me there were going to be dead dogs in this, Jesse.
Now you're upset. And conversely, I have known for the 8+ years that she has an intense phobia of encountering live dogs in person. What I did not know, and what she did not communicate, is that her phobia also extends to encountering dog hair on clothing. You can probably see where this is going. Can we? I thought she was aware that there was a dog in my house and that there might be some residual dog hair on my clothing. I asked if I could stay with her and she said yes. Ditto playing. I guess playing in the kinky sense, I would prefer not to think about. Afterward, she noticed that there was dog hair on my clothes, which she had not noticed before and had not communicated to me was going to be a problem, despite us socializing for days prior and her seeing my clothing beforehand. Oh my God, this goes on forever. If I had known that her phobia of dogs extended to dog hair on other people's clothing, I never would have asked to enter her home or to play. However, there's
can
literally...
people stop using the term play to refer
so
to fucking?
Creepy.
It's so
well,
weird.
It's not always fucking. It can be like
it's like
other.
I have kink, whatever. It's sex stuff.
Sex stuff. However,
they're not talking about video games, I don't think. Or maybe they are.
I hope so. I hope this is about Mario Kart. However, yeah. There's literally no way I could have known and she did not communicate that need. So... her CPTSD was triggered, she reacted as if I had sexually assaulted her, and here we are. Rather than letting rumors spread, I'd rather be proactive and communicate exactly what happened, why someone might accuse me of assault. She genuinely believes that I've sexually assaulted her, and I considered her a friend and I'm genuinely sorry for what she's going through, but feel that a blameless perspective would try to examine how the miscommunication happened. In my view, this was neither foreseeable nor deliberate, blah, 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 blah. I'll go to the end. In short... and maybe she should have started with the short part. One, Liz lives with a dog. Liz's clothing has dog hair on it. 3, where's the 2? Liz had consensual sex with someone. 4, that person has phobia of dog hair, didn't say so. 5, that person thinks Liz deliberately, maliciously got dog hair on her. 6, she accuses Liz of sexual assault. So
this does not happen when you have a hypoallergenic dog.
Or when you hang out with normal people. So various elements of this get screenshotted in different ways. I embarrassingly only had partial thread. You found it embarrassingly easily. When you read the whole thing in full context, if that's all there is, and as far as I can tell, that's all there is nothing here. There's nothing here. It sounds like a genuinely disturbed person overreacting to dog hair. Now,
dog hair is gross.
Okay, dog hair is gross, especially if you're the sort of person who A, has complex PTSD, and B, is hanging around playing with Liz Fong Jones.
Why do we think that the CPTSD is triggered by the dog hair? Do we have any theories there?
No, we don't.
It's not good. Anywhere I'm going, it's not good.
No, maybe it starts with a furry convention, an incident there. Now, on the one hand, Liz Fong Jones chose to publicly tweet a defense of herself against sexual assault. And I would argue maybe not in a way that foregrounds the most. She's like, there's all this wind up of like, I was accused of sexual assault. I must defend. And like, she should have just been like, this whole thing is about dog hair. And as far as I can tell, it is only about dog hair because no one has presented any other evidence there's more to it than that. Kiwi Farms has scoured this woman's entire life and social media presence for years now. If they had any smoking gun, even just like the victim saying no, it was about more than that, they would say so. As far as I can tell, this is a totally bullshit rumor. I should say that I did reach out to Joshua Moon, the Kiwi Farms mastermind, via email as well. He responded, and he re-emphasized his dislike of Liz Fong Jones in very colorful language, but he did not provide any substantive new evidence on these factual questions about the quote-unquote consent accident or Fong Jones having a meaningful relationship to Trans Lifeline, other than as a donor. Now, having heard the thread, do you agree with me? Am I being too credulous?
Well, I mean, assuming that Liz Fong Jones isn't lying, which we have no reason to assume that, but let's just, like, good faith, let's just assume that. I mean, this seems like a very stupid story. What I'm curious about...
One thing I should add is that especially in, like, 2019-ish, there was this thing, was there not, of calling everything sexual assault.
Everything. Yeah. Everything. This was the legacy of the Me Too movement. Yeah. Okay, so what I'm curious about is, so Liz Fong Jones said that this person was making, that she's responding to a public accusation. So it just seems bizarre that Kiwi Farms, who are genuinely good detectives, they are very good, they're very good at digging shit up, has never been able to find the accuser.
So because I'm not looking at all, I could devote like the next 3 years of my life to looking at everything they've said about Liz Fong Jones on Kiwi Farms, which I am, thanks to a grant from the MacArthur Foundation. it could be there's a screenshot somewhere. I will say they tend to post certain things a lot, including the consent accident language Liz Fong Jones used at one point, parts of this thread. I just think I would have seen it by now if there was anything more to this. I don't think there's more to this. I also, like, Kiwi Farms has a tendency to... they don't make up screenshots, but like once they develop a meme about someone, they just sort of repeat it over and over and over. And long story short, what happened here is they start calling her a rapist as though that's an established fact. Now, before we move on, I should say that Liz Fong Jones, ironically, once leveled what I think is a questionable accusation against someone else. And it's I don't want to make light of it, but it's too colorful for us to not mention. So Katie, read this. I've blacked out the name of the person and his company.
Whoa, so this is a tweet. Whoa, I feel enough that I momentarily blanked on my rapist name. And then she writes, it's, and then you blanked it after resigning from, it's blank, after resigning from blank, deleting his Twitter after that story, he's back on tech Twitter and is the blank called blank. This is not helpful, Jesse. You blacked out too fucking much.
Okay, then Riot Squirrel.
Who is that?
Responds, wait, was he involved? I don't know, some asshole. Wait, was he involved in the Hypno Kink world too?
Head crash, yes, that one. What is head crash?
I don't know, just read the rest.
He sexually assaulted me during a scene, and because it was hypno, yeah, I'm not going to be pressing charges. What does any of this mean?
So she's saying, if my understanding is correct, Hypno Kink is a kink situation involving hypnosis. She is publicly naming someone who she says raped her during a kink scene in which she was hypnotized.
And she's not going to be pressing charges because hypnotism is consent?
She was... I gotta say, to be clear, I have a number of female friends and exes who have been actually sexually assaulted. I'm not making light of it, but you can't really go online and say someone raped you and name them and then be like, oh, but I'm not pressing charges because I was hypnotized. Like, it doesn't, I don't think you can do that.
You can.
Or like, not if society is gonna, I mean, you can, yes. Twitter circa 2020, you could do absolutely a lot of stuff. I think this is questionable. Do you agree?
I have no idea. I need to know more of the details. I need you to send me the screenshots without the names redacted so I could look into this alleged rapist. I need to see his LinkedIn.
I think the key takeaway here is do not ever get involved in communities involving people with social media addictions. Like, never, ever, ever. Not even once.
I absolutely have no problem agreeing with that. I will never be involved with any of these people in any kink communities. Agreed.
So this beef between Liz Fong Jones and Kiwi Farms heats up further because it really does become Kiwi Farms lore.
That she's a rapist.
That she's a rapist. Like, many of them repeat this over and over. I think it's a ridiculous accusation given the lack of evidence, but...
Are they saying rapist ironically?
Well, they do that sort of chanty smirking thing where... I mean, right, a lot of the posts, you would think that they actually believe she was a rapist. It's
right.
You can't know what's going on in the heart of a Kiwi Farms poster, if anything.
That's really irresponsible. They should call her a zoophile instead.
So it's just... It's funny to me because the same sorts of bizarre game of telephone rumor bullshit we've discussed in our coverage of the sorts of people Kiwi Farms makes fun of, I think a version of that is going on here. And between the...
Is you're
going
to make us make enemies with Kiwi fucking Farms, Jesse?
I mean, I'm just trying to report on this stuff, honestly. Report in air quotes, because I spent fucking hours on Kiwi Farms looking into what Liz Fong Jones did and didn't do with whoever's dog hair on a coat. Anyway, between the doxing and a bunch of pseudonymous trolls calling her a rapist, as well as at least one incident in which she claims someone inspired by Kiwi Farms showed up at a conference she was at. To be honest, I didn't have the time to fully track that one down. Then there was another incident where someone, like, from a distance photographed some sort of outdoor protest she was doing about Kiwi Farms and posted that to her thread. There were instances of people, like, she thinks inspired by Kiwi Farms showing up in her real life, which made her nervous, and she gets really pissed at Kiwi Farms. She participates in the successful effort to get Cloudflare to drop the site. That was why Kiwi Farms was knocked offline for a while originally. Again, go back to our two-parter if you want the background on all that. Ten-parter. She becomes a big advocate for getting rid of Kiwi Farms. Like, Katie, read this title of a video series she posted. Scroll down a little there, you'll see it.
How Cloudflare enabled Kiwi Farms to stochastic terrorism. Did you know that Oxford named stochastic the word of the year?
Did it? I wish it did. No, but Liz Fong Jones has money. She's motivated. She goes after Kiwi Farms in various ways, including on the grounds that she's being defamed. Now, in the US, it is hard to go after some troll defaming you, in part because there's this thing called Section 230 that basically keeps huge swaths of the internet online. So if a Facebook troll defames Katie Herzog and says Katie Herzog is obsessed with Miles, the child choir singer, and has a prurient interest in him, you, Katie Herzog, cannot sue Facebook for that, right?
Yeah, Facebook, it's true.
First of all, because truth is an ultimate defense against a defamation claim, mm-hmm. but also because... Think about it for a minute. If you could sue Facebook over anything any asshole right. posted on Facebook, Facebook would cease to exist.
The internet would cease to exist. The internet as we know it.
Which would be good. So I'm saying we should change the law. Now, there are some backwards, barely developed countries run by warring militias. They don't have sophisticated internet law like we do. One of those countries is Australia. That's where Liz Fong Jones lives at least part of the time. Katie, read the top of this October 2023 article in The Guardian.
An Australian company found to have helped keep the notorious forum Kiwi Farms accessible online has been ordered to pay more than $400,000 in damages after a successful defamation action in the Victorian Supreme Court. The case is just the latest installment of a long-running saga that has pitted activists against the website that will not stay down, raising sticky questions about who is responsible for harmful online speech.
Okay, dot, dot, dot. It continues. The case claimed that a Brisbane-based company, Flow Chemical, and its sole director, Vincent Zhen, ZHEN were, quote, instrumental to its publication and for keeping it accessible. This is the defamatory information about Liz Fong Jones, even though they were not the authors of the defamatory Kiwi Farms thread. Because the matter was undefended, an interlocutory judgment was made against Flow Chemical and Zen in July, and Fong Jones was awarded damages of $445,000 plus costs this week.
Whoa. What, okay, so let's back up. So Fong Jones sued Kiwi Farms in Australia or sued...
No, Flow Chemical and its director, Vincent Zen, which is the internet service provider Kiwi Farms used.
Jesus. So they're being held responsible for shit that that other people, no matter whoever they are, wherever they are, posted on Kiwi Farms.
This is why it is good that Section 230 exists, to prevent outcomes.
Damn, I was going to propose that we move to Australia, but I don't think we can.
I think you can understand from Liz Fong Jones' perspective why she'd want to pursue action against Kiwi Farms, and she's doing so totally within the laws of Australia, but you can also understand how chilling this is from a free speech and sort of basic internet discourse perspective.
Absolutely. So did he end up having to pay?
So the current status of the case is unclear. Here's part of the statement Fong Jones' American lawyer sent me. Quote, the Kiwi Farms thread about Liz was found to be defamatory in the Australian courts. In the interest of full transparency, the finding that the named defendants were liable for that defamation was set aside pending further proceedings. Blah, blah, blah. He points out everyone, the courts did find this defamatory. No one is contesting that. I asked him what that means, set aside. Could he tell me anything about that? He was like, dude, I'm an American lawyer, not an Australian lawyer. I was like, touche, and that was that. So I don't know exactly what that means, but yes, the Australian court found this company liable for the defamation that occurred on Kiwi Farms.
So in Australia, you're not allowed to lie on the internet?
Well, apparently you're putting yourself at legal risk if you run a site where someone else lies on the internet.
That's crazy.
Although I will say, just parting thought on the Section 230 stuff, imagine if I could sue Blue Sky over what Blue Sky users said about me.
There would be no more Blue Sky.
And there'd be no more Blot reported.
True.
It would be so much money. No, it is very good that you cannot do that. And I do think one difference I want to make clear is, like, our whole thing, we were accused of, quote unquote, defending Kiwi Farms. In a sense, we were, because we said they should not be knocked offline unless they've done something seriously illegal. And that a lot of the behavior on Kiwi Farms, with the exception of the doxing, which also isn't illegal in most jurisdictions, was just similar to, like, online pylons on places like Twitter and now Blue Sky. So anyway.
How much of this stuff bothers Liz Fong Jones because she goes to Kiwi Farms and reads the thread about her? I mean, is her reputation, do people outside of this like small troll community actually think that she's a rapist? You know what I mean? People say shit on the internet, and to quote the poet Tyler, the Creator, ha 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 ha, how the fuck is cyberbullying real? Ha 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 ha, blank, just walk away from the screen, like blank, close your eyes, ha ha.
What was blank? Sorry, what was blank?
I'll use the white version of the term, Nilla. That's what you call a slur for a white person, like vanilla.
Nilla?
Yeah, I just made
it. I've never heard, vanilla. That's great.
Up, yeah. Yeah. So
wait, that should catch on.
Yeah, let's coin that.
What up, my Nillas?
Yeah, what up, my Nillas? Yeah.
I don't know. It they're calling her a rapist, and the Australian courts were convinced that it did enough. I don't know what their standards are. Yeah, for a public figure like Liz Fong Jones, you would have to prove. Well, it gets complicated. If calling someone a rapist is per se defamation, and you wouldn't necessarily have to prove damages, but your argument is like she could just ignore this and yes, it would maybe be in her interest not to.
Yes. I mean, clearly it's in her interest not to ignore it because she got almost $500,000, or might get almost $500,000 from this Australian thing. But yeah. I don't know. I mean, just
this Australian thing. You mean the Australian court?
I'm looking at her,
the kangaroo that runs Australia.
I'm looking at her Wikipedia right now. Damn, she does have a lot of money.
It says so on there.
It says 2019, she left Google where her compensation totaled about $800,000 a year and $500,000 in unvested restricted stock. The only thing about this is that there's a section about Kiwi Farms about her defamation suit. There's nothing about even the allegation. I don't come on, walk away.
You've had people call you a transphobe and put up posters of you. Let's say
fantastic for my career.
Well, but let's say they got into really defamatory territory with you, something that stuck and that you thought was spreading. At some point, that would start to bother you. It's not like it wouldn't affect you.
That has already happened to me. And I
live with what?
Transphobia. I lost a shit ton of friends because of all of this stuff. Yeah, it bothers me. Do I want to get a website taken down because of it? No, I don't, because I think that the principles of free speech are more important than the fact that people call me names online.
Yeah. Well, no, I just mean more the question of, like, at what point would you intervene? Could things get bad enough?
There is at no point. I think that at no point would I intervene.
What if I said you murdered Miles, the innocent choir boy?
All right. Well, I'm going to. So, again, truth is the ultimate defense. I mean, it depends on what you mean by intervene. If we're talking about suing a platform or suing a random person on the internet, I just don't think I would ever do that. And honestly, I think this question is a lot easier for me because I'm a woman. This is female privilege. It takes the worst category of false accusations just off the table. Like if someone called me a pedo or a rapist, it's like, who cares? It's obviously not true. I don't think anyone would believe it. So I'd be very unlikely to sue someone for online speech, partly because I don't think I would win. The bar to prove defamation is so high in the US. And the suit itself would probably do just as much to damage my reputation as whatever the actual defamation was. Like, I don't think Stephen Elliott's reputation is any better for suing Moira Donegan. In fact, it's probably worse. Now, I mean, it's different if a publication did. Like, if the New York Times published an article claiming that I'm an ABDL, then I might sue. But just some person on the internet, I can't imagine a case when I would actually pursue legal action. And the other thing that I do online to protect myself is I have really good internet hygiene. I never Google myself. I never search myself. I never seek out shitty things that people say about me because I can't control it. It doesn't help me. It just makes me mad. So I like live my life in this way so that I protect myself as much as possible. And I think that's good for me.
Me too.
And I think it would be good for you. You took my advice.
If you thought Liz Fong Jones overreacted by suing, if my understanding is correct, every single person in Australia, you might like this last bit or it might interest you. So
wait, let me say one more thing about this.
Yeah.
This is how I feel about it. There are exceptions. Like I think that Patrick Tomlinson, who we did a 2-part series on, who's been targeted in ways that go well beyond the shit that people say on the internet. Like he hasn't just been doxxed. He has been swatted dozens of times. That to me is different. That crosses, once shit goes from the realm of just like shit talking online on various forums and threads, I put that in a separate bucket than I do people calling in bomb threats in your name and stuff like that. That's criminal.
Oh, totally. Yes. Yeah, yes. But that's like criminal. That's criminal behavior. No, I don't think anyone's saying you should ignore bomb threats.
And Patrick he attempted to sue because he attempted to unmask his tormentors and failed. And now he owes money to the owners of the sites where people target him. Very different laws in the United States. He should move to Australia.
Well, okay. So actually on that very subject, our last little twist here, shortly after Liz Fong Jones' thread started on Kiwi Farms, someone who goes by Mail Fraud, MAILFRAWD, shows up on the thread. Here's his first post, Katie. My throat is dry, so I guess you're going to have to read this one.
I've met and interacted with this faggot in person on multiple occasions, and he's as annoying as this thread reports. One thing Kiwi Farms has already caught on is that he is an extremely public figure, and bringing his rape confession up in front of conference organizers may be the one thing that will push this retard over the line into the 41%. What does that mean?
Kill herself. They Kiwi Farms has like a thing about 40% of trans people being suicidal, so they use that as a super cute way to call for people to kill themselves.
Bunk statistic. Guys, where did you get that? This asshole's entire job is to convince organizers of these events to invite him to speak. And if they think he's going to draw a bunch of negative attention, they'll eventually stop inviting him. Keep it up.
So this attracts the attention of some Kiwi farmers who are like, oh, like, you know, this person we hate. Tell us more. He also posts this again, Katie, dry throat. And I'm asking you to read a lot, but this is important. So just do it, Katie.
Personal story-wise, definitely not without outright doxing myself, but all I have are anecdotal stories about this degenerate's behavioral issues. He is definitely on the spectrum, but everyone here probably knows this. personal aside from me, Katie Herzog, everyone reading this is probably also
I was gonna say, yeah.
However, I am deeply familiar with conference speaking, so I can probably share some additional details around how we can disrupt this faggot's existence. I've witnessed multiple speakers get canceled once they were invited and some controversy was brought up. It's not rocket science, and tech conferences publish their speaking schedules ahead of time. It might be worth trying to reach out to the organizers to express outrage at his invitation and indicate you're unwilling to attend since his presence makes you feel unsafe. Be sure to use the Troon trigger word as much as possible. However, and Troon is a slur for trans. However, the only time I've seen speakers preemptively canceled was after public outrage.
So, yeah, isn't Troon more of like a slur against like quote unquote fake trans people, or is it just a transphobic slur in general?
No. It's a
transphobic general.
I think all trans people.
Okay, so he then goes on to list specific conferences that Kiwi farmers should reach out to and be like, help, help, this person's a rapist.
So Kiwi Farms does a cancel culture.
Well, that's what's interesting. This post gets deleted, but it survives because another farmer responds to it.
Wait, gets deleted like by
someone at Kiwi Farms, by a mod.
Okay. Interesting.
Another Kiwi farmer quotes it and responds to it. They say, and I'm going to need you to try to translate this from Kiwi Farms. I'm curious if you can do it. I'm sorry. Are you saying we should commit gay ops and pause neg holes? No, we are not the autistic Illuminati. It's cool that you might know him, and I'd love to hear more stories, especially if you can verify them, but we don't fucking touch feces here.
Okay, so what this person is saying, again, don't touch the poo. Just don't. Don't mess with this. Don't call in conferences. We are observers. We are unbiased observers. We are the
unbiased.
Yeah, we are the what's it called? The galley peanut. We are the peanut gallery. We are not the poo touchers.
And again, every time this comes up, I need to say it's a little bit disingenuous because Kiwi Farms boards are inevitably going to cause, in the most extreme cases, like Liz Fong Jones, some real world harassment. But the way this guy was.
Do you have evidence of that?
No.
Or do you just think like the numbers?
The numbers and the vitriol and the. And also there is like some sly stuff. I think some of it is winking, but I think generally speaking, the ethos of the site is do not touch the poo. So what this guy posted here.
Okay, wait. What if what's your take on like, so Kiwi Farms, what if the farmers themselves aren't touching the poo, but other people come onto the site who don't have accounts, who are just reading it?
Right. I think often what happens is someone becomes a subject of controversy. They are doxxed. There's like locked portions of the site that I haven't seen, but like most of it is unlocked and anyone can find a controversial figure's info on Kiwi Farms. That being said, there's other ways to get that info too.
So the question is, does that count as Kiwi Farms touching the poo or?
No, that's someone else touching the poo. But that's the whole thing is like there's plausible deniability. You never know who's doing what. But the point is.
You know what they should do is they should just have everybody who reads the site, like make the whole thing private. And if you want to participate, you have to show Joshman your ID.
And your penis. You have to give him a photo of your penis. So this initial post, the one that it got deleted because mail fraud, this user was acting in an unusual way. Basically, it came across as Fed posting. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, Fed posting would be like someone trying to trigger an action to get somebody else in trouble. Like you're a Fed.
Yeah, it's like undercover. FBI agent goes into a Black Lives Matter Telegram group is like, who wants to come kill some honkies with me?
Yeah, or more likely a January 6th meetup.
Right. So mail fraud, that post is removed. Mail fraud back channels with a moderator and confirms he is who he says he is, someone who knows Liz Fong Jones in real life. Katie, describe how his name currently is listed on Kiwi Farms.
Okay, the name mail fraud and then the like little tagline is met Liz Fong Jones in real life. Honest and true fan verified Kiwi leak. What's that?
Verified Kiwi leak just means he like leaked information that the moderator found valuable. So he's, even though he's like initially met with some skepticism, soon people are intrigued because this guy knows one of Kiwi Farms' villains. Mm-hmm. Along the way on this thread and elsewhere, mail fraud provides a fair amount of detail about his personal life, including information about, you know, that can be tied to his location and his family and stuff like that.
Super smart. Give Kiwi Farms your personal information.
Right. Well, yeah. And especially given that, again, Liz Fong Jones has a bit of money to throw around. So Liz Fong Jones launches an investigation about mail fraud, because this is someone who claims to know her in real life.
And when you say mail fraud, not the crime of mail fraud, the name of mail fraud.
I hope she investigates both, but I mean mail fraud, right, this Kiwi Farm user. Her American counsel works with a law firm called Cameraman Unk Soniker, it sounds made up, and Klein. It's a real law firm. I looked it up. She hires that firm to conduct an investigation trying to unmask mail fraud. Now,
Jesus.
The task falls on a paralegal named...
And this is, again, this is a post that was deleted.
Well, no, but then mail fraud kept posting about her and kept saying fucked up shit about her.
Okay.
The task fall... I should have been clear about that. The task falls of unmasking mail fraud... falls on a paralegal named Catherine Tucson, who also happens to be extremely online on Blue Sky in a fairly cringe way. Katie, I can't resist. Read this one quote reskeet of a deleted post.
This, if you want to come for trans people, you're going to have to go through me.
So Tucson has a fair amount to work with, and she does a good job, because mail fraud provided so many details about the conferences he attended and other aspects of his life. She's able to narrow things down pretty easily.
Dude. OPSEC.
Non-existent OPSEC. She identifies the culprit. I'm torn. This is all public now. I'm just going to say his first name. A guy named Kevin, who lives in Tennessee and works at Meta, actually. Or he worked for some company that was acquired by Meta, so I don't think he was an original hire.
Okay, so she basically Kiwi farmed a Kiwi farmer.
Yeah, and we'll get back to the ethics of that in a minute, but in my view, they basically used the same tactics. And about a month ago, Liz Fong Jones post to LinkedIn, a real-life case study in anonymous internet harassment and insider threat. I have previously vouched for Kevin, last name, as a skilled communicator and technologist. While I have no reason to doubt his technical skill, I have learned new information about him as a person. As a result, I must sadly retract my endorsement of him as a warm, gracious, collaborative individual. I can no longer recommend that anyone hire him in any capacity. And indeed, I believe he may pose a safety risk to his colleagues or even to his employer.
Okay, is this like, you know how on LinkedIn you can endorse people? Is this like the end?
I think it might have been literally a retraction of a LinkedIn endorsement. So it turns out that like they had interacted with each other warmly in the past, and she'd even recommended him for a job. I think a job he got, and his present employment at the time they looked into it was Meta. And she attaches to her LinkedIn post the actual report, which I read. It goes into all the details, we'll include it in the show notes. And it basically just explains both what this Kevin guy said about her on Kiwi Farms, which was heinous stuff, but also includes some pretty intense claims. Will you just read these two quotes?
Viewing mail fraud's posts on Kiwi Farms in context makes it clear that he intends Ms. Fong Jones a great deal of physical, emotional, and reputational harm. From his first day on the site, he encouraged other users to defame and harass Ms. Fong Jones with the goal of driving her out of her industry and or to harm herself. I believe Kevin, and his last name, represents a grave risk to Ms. Fong Jones' safety, well-being, and personal and professional reputation. I do not believe he will stop his harmful conduct unless some outside force compels him to stop, and I believe that if he gains physical proximity to her, he very well may take steps to threaten or even harm her. Wow.
What do you think of the idea that Kevin poses her a physical threat?
I mean, come on. People who spend all of their time online, with the exception of Luigi Mangione.
Yeah.
I guess he was kind of offline there. I don't know, man. It's probably not a Thomas Crook situation.
Yeah. On the other hand, like, I don't know. There's no way to know for sure if someone who posts crazy stuff online is actually crazy or not.
True, but this also seems to me like the ramping up of online reputational damage to physical harm, because people take that more seriously.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Especially like, look, Fong Jones has a pretty clear case of him posting horrible stuff. I reached out to this Kevin guy. He didn't respond.
Has he said anything on Kiwi Farms?
Yeah, click this post of his on Kiwi Farms from right after the docs and describe it.
He's the only thing I have to say is pretty much, and then there's a gif. I don't know who that is. What is that?
It seems like the genuine general takeaway is like, I don't give a fuck. I'm not worried.
Did he get fired from his job?
Well, so it's slightly mysterious. A few days ago, Liz Fong Jones posted this to Blue Sky. The Meta Employee Relations Department's investigation into Kevin, last name, has concluded. Separately, I've learned from industry sources that Kevin is no longer employed by Meta. Being a member of Kiwi Farms and engaging in racist and transphobic tirades is bad for one's career. She includes some sort of chat.
Is it?
Or good. Depends. It depends. What about that guy you mentioned? The cats Miles? And dogs guy? Or Miles, who's also racist.
Wait, cats and dogs guy?
Yeah, the Haitian, the guy who made up the line about Haitians.
Captive Dreamer.
Liz Fong Jones includes a screenshot of some sort of interaction with someone at Facebook. What the Facebook person says is, thank you for following up. No further information is needed. The matter is now closed. And you're correct that we can't share the outcome. Greatly appreciate your participation in the process. So if you read her post closely, it doesn't quite say Kevin was fired for this, but it also doesn't say he wasn't. I'd say it's ambiguous. The wording, separately, I've learned from industry sources that Kevin, last name, is no longer employed by Meta. How do you interpret that?
He's no longer employed by Meta. I mean,
right. It just, vague. Why would it, if he was fired for this,
right,
why wouldn't she just say so?
Right. But there could also be, I mean, it's possible he quit. Who fucking knows?
Yeah. Let's assume for the sake of argument that this is the guy, which I think he is, and that he was fired. News of this was posted to the front page of Kiwi Farms. A lot of Kiwi Farmers were outraged that Liz Fong Jones would stoop this low, especially on Christmas and during Christmas.
<That's funny. laughs>
There was some debate among the farmers about this, but I'm curious to get your take first. Do you think that, like, setting aside whatever else you think about Liz Fong Jones, dog hair, drop Kiwi Farms, everything else, do you think she did anything wrong?
No.
Expand on that.
Do I think she did anything wrong? Okay, so I do not find her to be a sympathetic figure whatsoever. I also think if you're going to post a bunch of personal information online, like if you're going to have really bad OPSEC and you're going to encourage people to... He went beyond just making fun of this woman. He actually did encourage people to get her canceled from conferences.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a lot of sympathy for him.
Yeah. So that's why,
do
like,
you?
No. I don't. I think he went, he was in like an online hothouse and he went a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
I hope this doesn't, like, he's got a wife and kid. I hope they're not like, he's not permanently unemployable. But if you post incredibly inflammatory stuff online about a named individual, I don't really think you have a right to, like, some sort of inalienable right to privacy, especially if you're this sloppy about it and you make it this easy to track yourself down. Now, Liz Fong Jones is a somewhat obsessive person and she happened to have money. This, like, I don't know what this costs. They gave it to a paralegal. It's not like it was, she was paying lawyer fees and it was, I think, a friend of hers, but, like, I don't know. Some of the Kiwi Farmers were basically like, this is a FAFO, a fuck around and find out situation.
Yeah.
We're like, this is why Kiwi Farms has that ethos of not revealing much about who you are.
Yeah. I think I would be more comfortable about this if she had targeted someone who was just like making fun of her online.
Wait, if you're saying you'd be more comfortable with which part of it?
I'd be more uncomfortable. Like getting someone fired for just like, Jesse's fat or whatever, posting that kind of thing around.
Hey, that's libel.
No, it's not. Truth, ultimate defense.
Well, that was the interesting thing is some of the Kiwi Farmers did the same thing where they're like, oh, she got this guy fired just because he posted to Kiwi Farms, which is not what happened.
Right. Right. Oh, I don't know. I don't want to be on her side, but honestly, like not to blame the victim, but his skirt was really short.
He was wearing a very short skirt metaphorically this whole time. I still hope to hear from him. I have that email out to him. I got the email address from Liz Fong Jones doxing of him. So that is the story. I will say Liz Fong Jones, I saw an argument between her and someone named Naomi Wu, a whole other figure. Whole story for another day. I can't remember if she's come up before. But basically,
big
Liz
titties,
Fong Jones.
Right? Big titties. Big fake titties.
You said it, not me.
Giant.
Liz Fong
Tiny
Jones,
waist. None
Liz
of it's
Fong,
real.
Liz Fong Jones basically posited a distinction between doxing and unmasking. With unmasking, you're basically publicizing a user's name and like city level location, whereas doxing, you're providing their exact address.
Right.
I mean,
if I knew who was like, who posted pictures around Seattle with pictures of my face, if I knew who that was, I would feel no fucking compunction about
really
posting their identity online. No compunction at all. Yeah. Would you?
This could be an interesting conversation for a later day.
Okay.
That is the story of Liz Fong Jones and Kiwi Farms. Katie, any questions?
No. Thanks, Jesse.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.